While you're finding in your Bible Psalm 119 and looking around and sharing your Bible with somebody who may be next to you that doesn't have one, I want to thank you all again for the joy of serving with you over these 2 days of your annual Bible conference here at Appalachian Bible. Reminds you that you have ministered to me more than I could possibly minister to you, and I want to thank you for all of that. For those of you who are new with the Bible conference of this week, and this is your first session, I would just like to take a few minutes to clue you in a little bit about what we've been doing since yesterday morning. For the school year at Appalachian Bible, the theme of the year has been that particular verse, "Oh, how love I your law. It is my meditation all the day." And that's Psalm 119, verse 97. Yesterday morning, in the first of four Bible studies toward that verse, we started with verse 81, and started taking a look at some of the things that bring distinctive nature to the idea that we love the law of God and that we can meditate in that law all day long. And I want to just very quickly, without taking more than a couple of minutes perhaps, just remind you of some of the things at which we have looked. Going back to verse 81, and this is for especially for those of you who have not been with us. We started in verse 81. Really, we should have started in verse 1, but we didn't have 3 years to do that. So I chose to start in verse 81, just a little, build a little scenario of the reality of getting to verse 97. So we called it a journey from 81 to 97, and I get to 97 tonight, and whether I finish it or not, it's too much anyway. We'll just have to stop when we stop. Going back to verse 81, starting to take a look at what I referred to as the downside of Christian life and Christian ministry. The theme of the conference is servants who love your word. Didn't take a lot of time to talk about servanthood. That's well taught, well documented all over this campus. You can feel it in the air coming onto this campus. You can feel the spirit and the attitude and the practice and the biblical foundation of genuine servanthood. That's the way it ought to be. That's what we are called to be. And this matter of servants who love your word. I began my time with those of you in the student body, staff, and the faculty by reminding you that you can use that phraseology, and a lot of us generally do. I love the word. I love the Bible. I love God. But then the real test of the reality of that love has to come in the attitude and the activity of the way that works out in your life. It's an easy and quite often a very cheap thing to say, I love God. Sure, I love God. Sure, I love the Bible. Sure, I love the Word of God. And it be absolutely meaningless. So we started this journey by taking a look at primarily at two things in verses 81 through 88. And one of those is what I call the downside of life. And the other side is the upside of life. Take a look at verse 81 just as an illustration. Here's the downside of life. The thing that's going to come against your graduates who go into Christian ministry especially. The thing that comes against every child of God who's seeking to live and to honor Christ. You're going to get smacked in so many different ways that you don't like. So the downside is this. Verse 81, my soul faints. The upside of life, but I hope in your word. That's the last part of the verse. Verse 82, my eyes fail for your word, and then I need for you, and you will comfort me. And then verse 83, I become basically useless. I become like a bottle in the smoke. But the upside of life, yet I don't forget your statutes. And we went through that time after time with a lot of illustrations, and we won't take time to fill those in tonight. Then we went to the next paragraph that begins in verse 89, a reality that ought to be true in every one of our commitments to belief. In verse 89, here is what we are told. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. And that's a fantastic section of Scripture. I encourage you to take a look at it in a deeper way from time to time. And we took a look in that particular way at how our Bible brings to us the reality of things that work through us in life, things that upon which we depend that are forever settled in heaven. because God's word is settled in heaven. We don't need to be concerned about some atheist or some pagan philosopher or some, when I'm at Appalachian Bible College, I have to be careful because they never use crude words on this campus, and every now and then I slip up and use a few. So what I would just say, we have to be very careful not to let jacklegs out there take away our absolute commitment to faith in Christ and our love for Christ. And we studied those things. And we don't let that happen because we know that forever the Word of God is settled in heaven. Now I want to go to the bridge verse, verse 96. And it's a bridge over to our theme verse for the week. So with your Bible open, with you sharing your Bible with the friend sitting next to you that doesn't have one, here is the bridge statement that is made for us in the Word of God. I have seen an end of all perfection. Let me take a minute and just tell you what that simply means. I've been on the earth as a human. I have a mind with which to think. I have a heart with which to feel. I have two ears with which to hear. I have two eyes with which to see, and I want you to know I've seen the end of it all. Basically, what he's saying, I don't even like what I saw. But then he comes through with this clear statement. I have seen an end of all perfection, meaning he looks at the earth, the philosophers, the scientists, the teachers, the sociologists, the anthropologists. I've seen all that they can do. I've seen the ultimate of human effort. But then he comes back and he adds something else that is of major significance. But your commandments exceeds them all. Your commandments exceeds them all. I don't know where you stand. What do you think about Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle? You can go all the way you want with those fellows. But when you get to the end of them, you're just beginning to get to the beginning of God. Because my word tells me, God's word tells me, that after I've seen the end of all the best that humanity can do, God's word outdoes it. I don't know why we waste time looking for something bigger than the word of God when it's there. I don't know why we waste time digging in the pit of the end of all human perfection when the gold mine of the riches of the word of God are there. Now, with that particular statement in verse 96, the Bible goes into verse 97. I bet you already knew that 97 came after 96, didn't you? Now, here is a bridge statement that he makes. I've seen an end of perfection, but I know that God's commandment is exceeding beyond that. And then he comes with the declaration, oh, how I love your law. Now, how much does he love it? Tomorrow morning at chapel, I'm going to be sharing a message with you based on another verse where our Lord Jesus Christ says, here's what I want you to do, and here's how long it's going to take you to do it. You're never going to get a break from it. Here's another verse that says, this is something you need to do, and I'm not going to give you a break. It's what the modern-day terminology is. It's a 7-24 job, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right on and on. You don't get a break from this. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Be careful. When you say to God, I love your word, then he will say to you, well, here's your assignment. Because you've just rooked yourself into saying, God, I'm committed to meditating on your word all the day. That's what verse 97 says. It's a major statement of God's claim of assigning to us the reality of the best opportunities of life. You get the idea of where we're headed? And we come to that verse tonight with a statement where my Bible finally gets to the point after taking a look at that foundational truth of why I need this word in my life, why the people that come against me from the outside need for me to rebuke them with what's inside this book, and on and on and on we go. But what I want to do tonight, and I'm very mindful of the fact that this happens to be a very busy weekend for all of you. I think this is the 6th hour that most of you have spent in this building today. I know you've got a reception tonight. I know you've got graduation tomorrow. And I know all of you fellas have girlfriends. If they're not already here, they're coming in to see you. And I know you got family members coming in. What I'm building up to is to say I'm going to try to make this short so you won't get really upset. But there are about 9 things that I want to dig out of these. Get off it. So let's just go through these. And if I slow down a little bit, you just say, Bob, hurry. Do that, will you? I hope you will. Let's take a look at them. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day long. Keeping in mind what verse 96 wants us into. We've seen the best of humanity. Now we're going to see that God's word outdoes it. And here is our commandment. I love your law. It's my meditation all the day long. Verse 97. That's the first two. I got through those all right, right? Now let's go to verse 3. What else is going to take place in my own life as I understand the word that I love? Number 3. Why do I love the word of God? The word of God keeps us ahead of the enemy. No wonder this man that God used to write this chapter loved it. He had a lot of enemies. And you know, his own son went out to kill him. I think I've got that right. Maybe I'm mixing up some stories here. But we've studied the text in where his people came to dig a pit to throw him in, verse 85. And people came to persecute him wrongfully, verse 86. And then in verse 87, they almost consumed me. He said he had a lot of enemies. He was extremely interested in knowing how it was in life that he could stay one step ahead of his enemies. Rightly so, and rightly for all of us. So here's what he says to us about the power of the Word of God. And no wonder he loves it in verse 98. He puts it this way. You, through your commandments, have made me wiser than my enemies. You know, for a man or a woman who says, I love the Word of God and meditates in that all day long, he should never get caught in the trap of an enemy. When the enemy shows up with all of the tools that he's got to work on your morality and your spirituality and your family life and your educational training and your entertainment life and the scheduling of your time, every child of God who says to God, I love your word, I meditate on it all day long, and I just want to illustrate how it happened. The other day, the enemy showed up at 10 o'clock in the morning, but I was ready for him by 9 o'clock. I had already meditated in the word of God. That kind of love for God prepares you to stay at least, at minimum, one step ahead of the enemy. No Christian ever has a right to be overtaken by sin and then say, God, I didn't know they were coming at me that way. And God says, I told you how they were. And what have you been thinking about lately? If I told you to love my word, that my word would prepare you to stay one step ahead of the enemy. I know a lot of pastors tonight who are on the rack because they got away from the Word of God and got distracted and got out of focus and they weren't thinking and the enemy came in and did them in. I know a lot of young people who say, I wish I'd never done that. Let me tell you how to make sure you never do. You stay ahead of the enemy. Let me tell you how you stay ahead of the enemy. You love the Word of God. Let me tell you how you manifest a love for the Word of God. You meditate on it all the day. You say that's radical. You're right. You say that's extreme. You're right. You say that's fanatical. Did I already say that one time? No, I use radical first. Radical, and you give all those words to it, and you know you really ought to thank God that every one of those words applies to the Christian faith that you have. Radical, fanatical, extreme. Narrow-minded, you ought to be. And this, my Bible teaches me, that if I get that radical with the Word of God, that I can say to God with all of my mind and all of my heart, I love it, Father. It's your Word. I love it. I love it. God, I love it so much that I meditate on it all the day. And then God says, but Bob, if you keep that up, you'll always stay one step ahead of the enemy. He'll never be able to get his hook in your flesh. You get the idea of what he's saying? Now, that's number 3. Number 4, the Word of God keeps us ahead of the contemporary teachers. Now, I say contemporary teachers because we're going to get to the ancient teachers later. But the Word of God keeps me ahead of all the tommy rot that's coming upon America through the garbage cans of cultism and religious ideas and all. And just throw everything that you see like that on the junk pile of life. And the Word of God, my love for the Word of God, my meditation in it all day long, keeps me ahead of the contemporary garbage trucks that are spread in their package all over this land. You say, Alderman, where did he get that from? Well, I didn't have to go looking for it. It's right there in verse 99, and you're going to look at it right now too, aren't you? Verse 99, I have more understanding than all of my teachers. Now, I've done some research on that text. And, you know, I've studied the ancient documents. I've studied the ancient languages. And here's what I've come up with. That reference to those teachers do not include the teachers you had at Appalachian Bible College. You're not ahead of them. That is an obvious reference to those teachers that never had the joy of enrolling at Appalachian Bible College. But you've had excellent professors and teachers here and staff, so I want you to make sure that you don't, when you get an F on your last exam, you don't go back and say to the teacher, my Bible says that I have more understanding than you do. That's not how to use that verse, but here's how to use it. You've got a whole platoon of armies out there seeking to dump the garbage on you that come at you from what is commonly referred to today as a worldview of life. You know, God's not in it. Everything that humanity says is right. And my Bible says that's that group of teachers, and you've got more under. If you are in this book, if you say this is the book I love, this is the God I love, this is the understanding I have, this is the meditation I give, if you take all of that, God gives you the promise you've got more understanding than all of those out there that flaunt before you the intellectualism, the scholasticism. And I'm not against being intellectual. I tried it one time. Didn't work, but I tried it. I'm not against being scholastic. I'm not I graduated with a 4.0 from every school I went to. I got 1 point the freshman year and another point the second. And when I got to graduation, I added them up, and they came to 4, and I'm in there with you. And I'm not against those. And I'm grateful that we're sitting in the presence of tremendous scholars and intellects. But my Bible tells me this, that with reference to verse 96, and you'll take a look at it again if you will. Is it 96? I've lost my place. No, verse 99. Verse 99, I have more understanding than all of my teachers. Why? Read the next part of the verse. For my meditations, my testimonies, or your testimonies, are my meditation. God is saying, here's the reality of real scholastic understanding. It's my testimony coupled with your meditation, and nothing will outdo that. You say, Alderman, you need to go back to college. I'd be up to you to decide. Let me go to the next one. Do you have any idea what number that was? 4, thank you. Number 5, go to verse 100. Here's what we're going to take a look at first in it. The Word of God keeps us protected from the distortion of older errors, the things that used to come into the life, and they're still piling up today, and I don't know that I can understand all that is involved in verse 100. But here is what the man who loves the Word of God and meditates in that Word all day long, here's what he said, I understand more than the ancients. Now, I'm a great believer in a lot of the ancestral heritage that many of us have. I'm a great believer in the proper accumulation of real knowledge. I want to learn all of it I can. Since college, I've learned really to love history. I didn't love it in college, but I've learned to love it. And I love this matter of the ancients. But my Bible has given me some indication, Alderman, be careful with a lot of the ancient stuff. Just because it's old doesn't mean it's right. And you be careful with it. Now, that's number 5, I think it is. My Bible tells me that I am protected from the errors of the past. I think one of the reasons that so many of us don't understand what's going to come next as we haven't understood yet what came last. We don't understand where we are headed as a nation, for instance, because we haven't bothered to pay attention to our ancient history or to our recent history. We don't really know what's going to unfold in the book of the Revelation because we haven't spent enough time in Genesis through Jude yet. You get the idea that God intends for us to make sure we don't get trapped by the ancients or by the contemporaries. And the way that our Lord wants to protect us from that is to develop that beautiful, unquestioned love for His Word and meditate in it all day. Let me go to the next one, if you will. The Word of God. Now this gets a little touchy. I know some of you are going to really get mad here, but it's in the Bible. You'll just have to deal with it, all right? The next one, number six. The Word of God that I say I love, and that I say I meditate in all day long, if I mean that I love it and I know that I meditate in it all day long, guess what it's going to do to me? Verse 101, the Word of God is going to cause me to refrain my feet from every evil way. Take a look at it in 101. I have, and I just basically read it, I have refrained my feet from every evil way. It's another part of the radical nature of Christianity, the kind a lot of people that are sitting comfortably in our churches today don't like, because it is radical. But when you go back and look at that verse, I have refrained my feet from every evil way. I don't know whether you understand what the meaning of the word every is, but it means that once you use every, that it ain't, that it is not anything anywhere else. This compasses the whole thing. I have kept my feet from every evil way. God, that's too strict. Ease up. We all need a Saturday night behind the dark curtains. God, ease up. We only take a vacation to the beach once a year. What do you mean, refraining my feet from every evil way? God says, do I need to explain the meaning of every? The Christian servants who love the Word of God and meditate in it all day long need to sit down with a heavenly dictionary describing what God's Word means by every. I know what we say to God. God, nobody does that. You ever use that one? Nobody does that. So if we move from the reality of knowing that there's a difference in just using a Sunday school cliche about loving the Word of God into the reality of saying, no, I really mean that I love the Word of God. I meditate in it all day, and here is how it works itself out in my life. When I face the critics of the inside of my life and from the outside of my life, this is what God's Word is doing in my life. Now, don't get caught out there in the trap of trying to squeeze by and say to God in verse 101, well, God, I know you said that if I loved your word, I would refrain my feet from every evil way. But, God, I got uptight about that. And I just took a little sneak the other night. And I got caught. That's a tragedy of a lot of Christians' lives. That's why a lot of deacons are not deaconing anymore, and a lot of elders aren't eldering anymore, and a lot of pastors aren't pastoring anymore, and a lot of Sunday school teachers aren't Sunday school teaching anymore, and a lot of daddies don't have the moral courage or the moral record to discipline their own children in moral living, because I took a little peek from the strictness of God's Word, and I put my foot just one time where it should not have been. And I want to speak to those of you who are going out from this campus after a semester and two semesters and 4 years, and you're going out maybe to come back at the end of the summer, and you're going out to begin your vocational ministry. If you really want to know God's pattern for success in your life, is to love the Word of God that way, that it manifests a refusal on your part to put your foot in any evil place. Number seven. The Word of God has constrained me to abide by the judgments of God. Look at it in verse 2. I have not departed from your judgments. And the reason I haven't, because you have taught me. That's the last part of verse 102. I've not departed from your judgments. A lot of people don't like the idea when God uses the word judgment. We don't like the idea when somebody that we know follows the judgments of God and then points out those judgments to us. And we kick back and say, wait a minute, you are using judgment against me. You're not allowed to do that. No, that's a false teaching. Verse 102 puts it this way, I have not departed from your judgments, for you have taught me. Elsewhere in the book of the Psalms and other places in the Bible, we come back to face a reality of what a lot of Christians don't like anymore, and that's the law of God. I never have known God to make something or anything inferior. I've never known him to make anything that has been blemished, or that is useless, or that is nasty. Everything that God has touched, everything that he's made, everything that he has presented to us is absolutely good. And one of those things that he makes is a law for moral rightness. You know why he gave us those laws, those judgments? He gave them to us because he loves us perfectly. I'm going to take Dr. Anderson. I said I was going to be short, but an illustration comes to mind that I think will help you. It's personal, and you pardon that. And I've used it in this pulpit before, so those of you who've heard it need to hear it again because you've already forgotten it. But I, at age 14, I did not like laws, judgments against me. My daddy had a brand new Chevrolet. I, at age 14, got a driver's license. We could do that back in the dark days. I got a driver's license. I was trying to court my wife, who is here tonight. We weren't married at age 14, but she's my wife now. I was dating her. On a Sunday afternoon, I had the audacity to ask my daddy if I could borrow and use the brand new Chevrolet Sunday afternoon. And he thought a little while, and he said, okay, son, you can do that. But there are two rules that go with it. And I said, oh, no, not these rules again. He said, number one, you got to be back home in 2 hours. And I thought, that doesn't give me time. But it's his car. Number two, you can't drive over 35 miles an hour. I said, Daddy, if I stick to those rules, every friend I have in school will be laughing my case off the map. He said, well, it's your choice. It's my car. And then basically, he let me know, son, you got to abide by rules. And then he let me know, because I love you. And that's a funny kind of love. I thought if you love me, you'd say, yes, son, take it and gas it all over the county. He didn't say that. He said, no, be back in 2 hours, nothing over 35. Well, I was out in that car one day, had just put Amelia off at her house, and I was going further down the highway. Something happened, and all of a sudden, the highway looked different. In fact, the highway, instead of looking like a highway, began to look like little trees falling over in front of that Chevrolet. And then up comes a big tree that didn't fall. And then up comes pain in my body. And then I started thinking, you know, I sure am glad Daddy loved me, because I wasn't driving over 35. I was abiding by Dad's judgment, by his law. And I thought he'd put that law on because he didn't like me. But when I wrapped his brand new Chevrolet around that big tree, I realized it wasn't his love for the Chevrolet. It was his love for me. That's why my Father in heaven says, I've got judgments, you would abide by them. I've got laws, you would abide by them. Every one of God's law is a promise of his love to us. Don't ever rebel against it. Oh, how I love your law, your word. What number was that? Please help me. 7. I'm about to the end, and I'm going to go a little bit faster, I reckon. And this is kind of language I never have brought myself to use this, but I think I should. Verse 103, when I take a look at all of that and God's judgments and God's law, and I love them, and he wants me to meditate in them. Verse 103, follow it in your Bible, if you will. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to the mouth. Do you love God's word that way, where you're willing to come in? Or did you say something like this? God, I'm not going to spend any time in your word tonight because, quite frankly, I find most of it boring. I haven't found it helpful. I had a problem, and I went to the verse in your Bible, and it didn't help me one bit. You know, on and on and on with that garbage. But the reflection of properness toward the love of the word of God brings the sweetness of honey to the mouth, to the life. We've covered a lot of territory. I'll cover one more, verse 104, if you will. Through your precepts I get understanding. And here is where the manifestation comes. Therefore, I hate every false way. Young people, when you get out into that summer ministry or to that vocational ministry as a pastor, a missionary, a husband, a housewife, businessman, a cook, a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker, you've got to remember this, that the love of God, whatever you are, whatever you're doing, that love of God, love of His Word, love of His law is filled with your opportunity for total conquering victories in life. And I pray that you will remember that as you go out from this campus. If you got to deal with something tonight because you are not into the love of the Lord, of the law of God that way, whether you're a student, parent, friend, whoever, maybe a pastor, maybe a missionary, and you say, I've given my life to all of that, but that I still don't love God's word that way, then tonight you may need to pull the trigger on taking care of the matter. Would you bow and pray with me, please? And while we wait in just a few moments of prayer, I wonder, is your desire really to love the law of the Lord this way? Is it your desire to say, God, I want all of these things that you provide, the restrictions and the freedoms, the conquering spirit, the overcoming power, I really want all of that? Then God says, then go my way. Love my word. Meditate in it all of the day. Get a step ahead of the enemy. Keep your foot out of every evil place. And I will be your conquering Christ. Some of you are dealing with problems in your own life. Maybe some addictions. Maybe some language barrier. Maybe a family issue of tension. Maybe a pending breakup of a marriage. Maybe an alienation from a child or from a parent. And God says, that's not my plan. My word will get you ahead of the enemy that's causing that. Come my way. Listen to my truth. Love my law. Meditate in my word. And be the conqueror through Christ Jesus, your Lord. In the quietness of this moment, would you turn that to Christ? Father, I thank you that you are the Lord of victory. I thank you that you don't intend for any of your children to live in defeat at any time. I thank you that you've allowed us the privilege of knowing how you win the battles. And I thank you in my Savior's name. Amen.